and welcome to another Woodshop Podcast with Mike Coffey of Coffey Custom Builds, Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks, and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find us all, as well as the podcast, on Instagram and YouTube.
Welcome to episode 32 of Another Woodshop Podcast, a very special episode with the one, the only, Richard Lapke, also known as Nick Key on the IGs
Nick's
and YouTubes.
Here. Yay!
Yay!
Hey, Nick. Thanks for joining us,
For those
buddy.
Of you expecting Justin, he had an emergency, had to work. He's saving lives, so we gave him an excuse this once.
Nick, do your impression.
Hey, there's a fire.
Solid.
Nailed it.
Everyone that called in for a question for Justin, sorry.
I'll be editing those appropriately.
Yeah, you're going to dub your own
I'm
voice
just gonna
saying,
say, Nick. It's going to be real good. It's
gonna be high. So what do you got, Mike?
Well, we have no show sponsor this week, but we do have a bunch of patrons. So we wanted to say thank you to the patrons. We really appreciate their support every week. And their continued support and the continued growth we've had. We actually just got one 10 minutes ago. So thank you to the patrons. This week we got, Maxwell Steck, Jordan Lance, Mike Guillory, and the newest one is Jeremy Arnold. So big thank you to our new patrons. You guys are awesome. Seriously, we really do appreciate
you guys.
It so
you
much.
Rock.
So,
and speaking of the patrons, we can talk about the new thing.
I was going to say, we just did... a pre-show live. Nick was a part of the beta for that. It was fun. I think it was a good time. It seemed like, what do we have in there? 230,000 people were joining us?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. You're rounding down. You should round up.
What was it?
131,000.5.
105 or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, so we had
137 people.
Over the span of the live.
Over the span of the hour
so
and a half live.
We had like 30, 40 people in there just chit-chatting, having a good time, just making jokes, making fun of us. Mostly Pete, because that's what we do.
Mostly
here,
me,
so.
Yeah.
It was a good time. But you know what? We got Nick on the show, which is really cool. Nick saw the story that Justin couldn't make it due to a work commitment, and he said, hey, as long as you pay me my minimum fee, I'll come on the show tonight. And we had to break all our piggy banks, and we were able to get Nick on here.
Please don't cash that check till Wednesday.
Okay. Just wait just a little bit.
I knew you post-dated it for a reason.
Right. It's dated December 28th.
It'll bounce sky high.
No, but I got all the
did
green
you look at
M&Ms
the year, though?
That I requested. Oh, is there a different
post-dated
year?
Post-dated a year.
Oh, crap. I need to go back and look at that check.
Just like you an alimony check. Same thing. You just post-dated one a year and then give it to...
All right.
No?
Okay, I don't know anything about that.
Not sure what you're talking about, Pete. That sounds like you're a horrible person.
Oh, God, I'm a listening to this.
No, seriously, it's really great having Nick on here. It's fun. We talk about Nick a lot in here, actually, because he's helped me a lot with my content. And
we all have weird crushes.
I do.
No.
Have. Yeah.
What are you telling him? I want him
so
to know.
We've had,
he can see Nick, us.
Nick and I have had a relationship for about 10 years. And
yeah, why don't you guys talk
I need
about
to,
that?
I need to come clean.
It's been an off and on
I've had a
relationship.
Crush on you for all 10 years.
Oh, yep. Boy.
The first question they ever asked each other was ASL.
That's true.
On AOL chat room.
On AOL, yeah. I had an away message up, and he hit me up.
What's up, girl?
I still have that away message.
Well, he thought it was Nikki. Turned out it was Nick Key.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah, I get that a lot.
I'm sure he's never heard that.
No, and it's because I was adopted, Pete.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. No, I really was.
No response.
I always love to drop that bomb when everyone's like, do your parents hate you that they named you Nick Key? So
do you
Nicky.
Really get a lot of flack for that?
I did in college. I don't know
really?
Why. Yeah, I did. People were like, Nicky. Your parents are, did they not think about that? I'm like, well, they didn't when I was adopted.
Right. They're like, we can't do it. We can't adopt him. His name's not going to work with our plan.
Can't change it. It's not like getting a dog at the pound.
We're really looking for an Edward Key. Can you get us an Edward?
Will you
respond
to
that? We're looking for a Richard.
Richard Key. Richard Lapke.
That's right.
Oh, and for those of you that are very confused about Richard Lapke, you need to listen to a pre-show.
Yeah, the pre-show's going to have all the answers. Yeah.
It's going to be live for everyone, actually.
It's going to have a lot of answers, probably most you don't want.
Right.
But they're going
to
be there.
Oh, God, so many more questions.
No, big thanks to Nick, and big thanks to the patrons. We really appreciate it. So, I mean, Nick, I don't know how you feel about it, but we always do
what's on my bench.
Just kind of wrap up for the week. I mean, you
could, sure,
to throw in on that. I'm going to throw it to you first. What's gonna, sure, going on for you?
Well, it's more of what I just got off my bench because
I like it. That's always the best.
I just finished up a little side table. I don't know what came over me last weekend, but I was like, I need to make something, and I need to make something this weekend, and I didn't know what it was. And I had, back from my old days of wedding shows, I had this backdrop, and it was made up of this old Kentucky fence planks from the thoroughbred farms around here in Kentucky, and it's all poplar.
Oh.
And I just liquid nailed and brad nailed it to some quarter inch plywood and made a backdrop, so like a faux wall.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to turn this into something. I don't know what I'll do, but I ended up making this little side table, and it was just this crazy design that I just came up with that I saw actually in our green room at church. And I was like, I need to make this. I got to make it. So I ended up, you know, I threw everything through the joiner, the planer, cleaned it up, got it squared up, and I made it. That's and awesome. It turned out great. And I really liked it.
It did turn out great. It looks great, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's kind of a weird design because it's more like an upside down table, really, because what you would typically put the top on, the legs are backwards.
Right.
So it's like flipped. And I dug that design. So I was like, let's do it. And it came out nice. And that's what I finished up. I think I just took the finishing shot today, this afternoon, outside, in front of more of the backdrop that I have, because I only used half of it. Well, actually, I didn't even use half of it to make that table. I used like maybe a third or even a quarter, maybe less.
Where's it going in your house?
It's not.
Oh.
Right in a fire pit.
Yeah, I'm going to burn it tomorrow. With the rest of the
kids. Yeah, the rest of the scraps,
I'm burning it. Yeah. I just needed an IG post.
Right.
So...
For the gram.
That's done, and I'll scrap it tomorrow. You're right, for the gram fam.
I'm just imagining Nick having like a grudge with a guy in a bar. He just got into an argument and walked away without saying anything. And he's just been painstakingly building the stool just to like break it over the guy's back next week.
Yep, I'm gonna take it down and just smash it right over.
Get your last word in. You just been keyed,
right? With no hardware in the stool at all.
Right.
That's how I like my stool.
That's right. I mean, I made a couple samples of the stool to start with.
Stool samples are always good.
Right.
You got to take got to have
a couple of them.
Very highbrow show.
Let's play on these stool jokes.
And I
Let's
don't know why, but can... every one of my samples had corn in it.
Now, this, you used poplar, you said, right?
Yeah, it was all poplar.
It's a fairly soft wood. Did you use any, like, stool hardener for it?
Yeah, I did. I applied Metamucil on all of them.
I heard that turned your wood green.
No, it doesn't actually. It's well, what turned out it made it even softer. Which is not
softer
what
than
you want.
Poplar? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Was a pine.
Yeah. Very S-shaped poplar.
I'd like to turn in my resignation now.
Dan looks like very bummed out right now. I don't know if anyone can see this, but Dan's super bummed.
No, that's his I have to pee face.
No, this is not. You'll know. No,
every face is Dan's I have to pee face. You need to listen to the pre-show. Hey, but while, you know, we didn't actually mention it, since Nick's on here, Nick, you should probably mention your show.
I do.
Wait,
have
Nick's
a...
Wait, Nick has a show? I'm sorry,
he
Nick.
He does.
Right. Yeah, I've got a podcast with a couple of guys.
Pete's going to put it in the show notes.
I will. Of course.
Shop Sounds Podcast.
Boom.
With two other guys, they're smaller accounts than I am.
Right, they're getting started.
Yeah, they're just getting started.
Everyone's
on Instagram.
That was a nice of you to do that, by the way.
Right, I like to give them a boost when I can.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's best to do that. From
the kindness of my heart, I like to build people up.
It's all for the community.
Yeah, Jason Hibbs and
community over competition.
Yeah, and Keith Johnson. So Bourbon Moth and KJ
Newer.
Sawdust.
I've never
they're,
heard
they're
of
brand
ones.
New. They're really green.
Thank you.
Yeah, they've got just a small following.
Right.
So I like to, you know, shout them out when I can.
I'll be sure to check them out for sure.
Yeah, really check
funny.
Them out.
You're there, Pete.
I'm not even there.
You Pete, ended man. Up on this one.
I'm not even there, Pete.
They just I'm there, Pete. Hang around, feel good.
I'm there, Pete.
Yeah.
God. Well, that was fun. Thank you, Nick. Yeah. Daniel-san, what's your week been like? What's on your bench is what I meant to say. Sorry. I had a stroke.
Take two.
I'm still working on...
Delete this.
I'm still working on the walnut desk. Wait, no.
No, you're not.
Rewind.
You're
not. That's done.
That's all he knows how to say now.
Yeah. I know. It's just like burned into my default. Brain. I just... Walnut desk. I'm actually wrapping up some barn doors. I did some shop organization.
What?
Yeah. I'm trying.
What'd you do?
Well, I just cleaned up a little.
Oh, that's just cleaning. That's not organization.
Dude, I'm trying to like
maintain.
Drag this out and make it sound like I'm productive.
Oh, right? Okay.
Stop hating
so
on
I
me.
Hear a lot of NBA 2K21 or whatever.
No, but one of the big exciting things is after the meetup we had last weekend in California at Macbeth.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, we should.
Oh, that's right. That was after the podcast.
Yes.
That feels like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It does feel a while ago. But we, you know, in case y'all didn't know, we had a big maker meetup, the AWP maker meetup at Macbeth.
180 people came to that thing from four states.
Crazy.
People flew
into the meat of that thing. We all have coronavirus.
Are their arms tired?
But after that, when I got home, I got to open up my new Laguna 14 BX bandsaw.
How you liking that?
Oh my God.
Isn't it amazing?
It is so much better than that little 10-inch Hitachi I had, let me tell you what.
It used to be a VCR, then you turned it into a
bandsaw. It was a VCR-DVD combo.
Right, it was VCR-DVD bandsaw combo.
But man, light and day difference. Oh, I'm so happy to have that in my shop.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got that from Macbeth. There's no secret that we're all kind of partnered with Macbeth at this point.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm so happy to have that in my shop. It's such a nice machine. I did my first resaw on it. I've never been able to do that. What a nice thing to have.
What blade do you got on there?
Like I just bought I bought a half inch 4 TPI blade from sawblades.com.
Like dead on straight.
Yeah. Super straight.
I thought
you
were going to have like something bigger on there for that resaw.
Nope. I mean, I'll probably end up getting the Resaw King eventually.
You need to get the Resaw King, dude. That thing's so sick for that.
Yeah. It's super nice bandsaw. Things cool, are dude. Happening in my shop. I got a lot of things to do. But aside from like the woodworking stuff, photography has been beating me down lately, so it's keeping me out of the shop more than I'd like. But anyways, what are you up to, Pete?
Oh, me, you ask? Well, mm-hmm. I just finished what apparently is a copycat clone of Nick Key's old project when he was like, you know, a youngin.
Yeah.
There's this class that I teach, the Intro to Furniture Making class at the Woodworking School, which I'm actually teaching that class tomorrow for the first time in like 6 months. We make this one table that I wrapped it up. I was doing some pictures. I posted them up on Instagram. And Nick's like, hey, I made the same one. I'm like, damn it. And it's ash too. And it looks better.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
Yeah. So when he was a youngin', when he was only 30,000K followers. Yeah.
30,000K? It's a good number.
30,000K,
that's a big number.
30K. Double plus good. So I just... Actually, right before we hopped on the pre-show, was able to run out there and get some India ink on that. And oh my God, it looks sick. It looks so good. I have never used India ink. And it's just on like porous woods, like ash. It just looks so freaking awesome. Dan, do you have a question?
You're going to want to spray finish that.
So that was actually going to be my question. So lacquer, some people are like, shellac. Hey, let's get shellac in it. You don't need to do anything. I'm like,
just whatever kind of finish, spray it.
Also, one coat, two coat? One coat? Two.
Three coat, blue coat?
So Nick says two coats. At the end grain,
what do you
I
do lacquer? You do lacquer on it, Nick? Rattle can?
I would rattle can some lacquer on that just that's because of how too. Small those legs are.
Nick's the India ink king, so.
That's why, yeah.
I wouldn't. Oh,
looks, is that derogatory? He looks really bummed out about that.
it's
there's a king of...
It's just one of those things actually on my podcast that they always rag me on because everything that comes out of my shop turns black.
But it looks good.
Yeah,
I mean, throwing it in the fire pit.
Right. I haven't burned one thing yet. Well, besides all the scraps I burned today. But
and the table tomorrow.
Yeah, and the finished table that I, yeah. But no, I haven't shoshugibon anything yet. Which, by the way, is it shoshugibon?
I think it's shosugibon.
Is it sugi?
I don't think I'm any of sure. us are in.
None of us are qualified to answer the
yes. All I know is I love a California roll.
Pete tried to answer it on our live last weekend.
Butchered it.
Shoshugibon?
Yeah, I'll stop. I'll stop all my head.
Let's not repeat what Pete said.
Yeah, that
don't
was
repeat
offensive.
The Pete.
Don't repeat.
Anyway, so I got that wrapped up, and I actually had an insanely busy week. I went into Fusion for the first time. Like we were talking about Fusion last week on a podcast, and then I realized I was sitting there, and I'm like, I haven't launched Fusion in like almost a month. And I was like, what the heck? What the hell am I doing? And now I'm paying for it, so I have to. So I got in there and I knocked out a bunch of little, like, started on some prototypes, doing measurements, other things. I knocked out some battery holders that people have been asking me about for the DeWalts. Now everyone's bugging me about some other stuff. What's up? What's up?
Milwaukee.
Dan, some Milwaukee? Some Milwaukee-shaped cough. anyways, Sound got wave. That knocked out. That was kind of a big hit with people. The printer's behind me. Anyone watching the video? I've been pretty much running nonstop for, like, the last week. I finally got caught up. Got
They're
a little
not
bit ahead.
Now.
They're not. But there's a full sheet of stuff here. See?
Oh, I'm just joking, Pete. I know you're busy with that thing. When are you getting the next one?
I am placing an order this weekend, probably.
Yeah, you said you were getting a third printer.
Yeah, I'm going to get the mini version of it. So it's about half price of this, because I've been wanting to test it, and I can justify it now, because I can still get a decent amount of printing out of it. It's not as large of a bed, but because I'm printing multiple of smaller items, I can actually double my production. If I get two of those, same price as one of these, and I can print double in less time.
So well, let me ask you then.
Yeah.
Why don't you just print yourself a mini?
You can print a lot of the parts, but not the hardware. You could buy all the hardware as well. And honestly, it probably individually costs as much as one. Trust me, I've worked out the numbers.
I'm just an idiot. Don't worry
about
it.
But the crazy thing is, no, these printers, they literally sit in this warehouse and they just print parts. For like everything that you see that's like orange on there, it's all printed in that factory out of ABS.
Yeah.
And it's hella strong and it's pretty nice. Anyway, so I've just been a kind of an administrative behind the scenes week. I'm happy to have that table done, have that India ink on there. Now to finish it. And then I need to get started on some little projects that I have around the house. I actually need to make, you'd think it's like the easiest project, they probably will be, two swing seats, just like for a swing.
Customer?
Just hang outside.
What room
for
is
a customer.
That going in?
For a customer?
Yeah, it's for... Yep, got two swingers. So, gotta make two swings. They want cherry. I'm like, I have all this cherry in my shop. That's amazing. Perfect. And I just gotta figure out how to properly seal it in because it's going to be outside most of the time, so probably have to do some varnish on that. Maybe I'll go with like Total Boat. They know what they're doing. Anyways, that's all I got. Mike, what do you got?
Well, we had the maker meetup, which was
that
thing was huge. I mean,
so
I think
wild success.
The three of us were like, man, do you think 50 people will show up? That'd be nuts.
We were thinking like maybe 20.
Yeah, we were like 20 or 30, and then we were like 50 would be crazy, and there was 180 people at that thing. We couldn't even believe it.
According to Rusty, not concurrently.
Yeah, not concurrently, but it was through over the period of the 4 hours or 5 hours we were there, it was 180 people. So
some people took advantage of those sales too,
and the sandwiches.
Big items left out.
Yeah, the sandwiches were bomb. Those chips
those
were amazing.
Chips.
Too.
Those chips were amazing. I'm still upset
we
that we forgot
that
them.
Tray.
Oh my god.
We were going to, but somebody had to go to the bathroom really bad.
Yeah,
and we forgot.
That guy has pee pee problems. But then a bunch of people came back to my house, and I don't know, like 10 people. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was about 10. It wasn't.
Yeah,
a
like
lot.
10 people came back over to my house. That was fun. That was nice.
Appropriately spaced and safe.
Yeah, no one was like,
no kissing on the lips.
It was people just hanging out in my shop, and we had the garage doors open and hanging out. That was a good time. We did the fire pit too. That was a good time. And then you guys went home, and Sunday after I dropped we dropped off Pete first, and then dropped off Dan, and then I got home and I fell asleep as soon as my butt hit the couch. I just sat there and was like, I was gone. It was just I was exhausted.
It was a busy weekend.
It was a busy weekend.
Awesome
and then weekend. Hosting people is always like stressful and stuff. So, but yeah, we did all that. And then it was just, you know, with you guys at my house, we got the dust collection done for my shop, which was a lot. I mean, it was a lot of work. It should have gone faster, but it was just really complicated.
Didn't feel like that much work.
For me and Pete, it was a lot of work. Dan did next to nothing. So, it was a bit more complicated.
Dan's an ideas guy.
Yeah. So that's Dan's way of saying, I'm not going to help. So my original plan was to run 8-inch plumbing. And then I went to the place the day the guys were landing on their plane. And I gave the guy my list. And he's like, are you sure this is what you need? And I'm like, yeah, this is what I need. He's like, this is going to be $1,900. And I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? Each fitting for the 8-inch plumbing is $100 for the Ys and the – anyway.
Insane.
Pretty boring. It was crazy expensive. So I had to replan the whole shop and then the layout changed. But everything's all up and running now. We got everything lined up. Got the CNC shop all lined up. I've spent basically the week learning how to use my new CNC, which is – pretty intimidating. I don't really get intimidated by tools, but that thing's it's a lot to learn. So
it's fun going and watching your stories now, because you know before you know you couldn't get a feel for your shop, but now that I've been there, you're like, oh, I know where this is at, and you could kind of envision the whole space, which is like really cool. Everybody should go visit Mike so you can appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love it, unless you're gonna murder me. If you could not murder me, that'd be a pretty cool prerequisite. If you could sign the paperwork, then you can come over. That'd be cool. But I really want to do a shop tour video soon. I think I'll be able to in the next couple weeks. I get asked to do that a lot. So I'm hoping to do that soon. That's going to be a lot of fun. But it was really just a great time having you guys over. I completely forgot about that until we just started the show that you guys were over last week, and it was so recently.
Yeah, it really feels like
we're like leaving Nick out. He came onto the show to help us out, and then now we're just like talking about. But it was a really good time. We had a lot of fun. We got a lot done in the shop. My shop's basically I'm just doing fixtures now and setting up the like creature comfort stuff now. So it was a really good time. And
is it too early to bring up what we've been talking about for?
No.
March?
No, we need to talk about it right now. I think we need to start getting that going now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
Nick's very confused.
No, so we're doing another Maker meetup in Salt Lake City in March, assuming, of course, Corona numbers haven't like skyrocketed and things aren't like real bad. But we're doing another one in March, and we're going to be well, I guess that's kind of still up in the air.
Up in the air. It's basically there because
we're shooting for doing another one in March.
Yeah,
right. We're shooting
for March. There's no
middle of March, and we're looking at Macbeth, Salt Lake City as well,
which they're renovating. So that's the only thing that's kind of up in the air, aside from you know the end of the world.
Right. aside from everyone dying. Yeah. Other than that, no. So we're gonna plan for that, and we are gonna keep kind of this ball rolling. It's just a lot of fun. Yeah. So try to get as many people out there as we can. I mean, it's an AWP maker meetup, but we really just want it to be a community thing. I mean, it doesn't. We're not trying to get like specific people in there, but sorry, my dog wants to come in. She's the worst. But anyway, yeah, we're shooting for middle of March, so.
Is this the first time we're mentioning it?
I think so.
It is, yeah.
Publicly.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I mean, publicly. I mean, Rusty's been telling people already, which is nice.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, has he?
I may have, I was like, Lefty, I got something to tell you.
Yeah, I told Lefty, too.
You need he told to keep Brandy this at Eternal super Harvest. Quiet. It's only but a whisper at this point. And he's like, oh, yeah, Mike told me. I'm like, really?
Shut up. No, so. Anyway. Let's, I gotta let this dog in. I'm so sorry. She's just knocking on the door. Come on.
That's fine. Here. Let her in. Let her fart.
Yeah, she's going to fart and snore like a homeless guy. It's going to be the best. Well.
No. You know who snores like a homeless guy?
This guy.
Daniel. I slept on a mattress below Dan for 3 days.
That's your fault.
Luckily, I'm a heavy sleeper.
Me too.
I'm a heavy sleeper. Anytime
I woke up. By the way, Dan, I would see a doctor, maybe a sleep study, because, man, I'm worried about you. There's some long pauses yet. In his snores. I was like, huh?
There hasn't been any issues yet.
He's okay.
That's Dan's motto. That's going to be a tramp stamp on Dan's back.
Not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Haven't had any problems yet.
Dan-tastic. Fine as,
anyway, Dan-tastic. Yes.
Dan-tastic.
So should we jump into questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we start with this one that was very controversial?
Yeah.
It's not that much.
Why not? Let's get it out of
the way.
It's a little
silly. Let's get it out of the way so we can get this show. This first question is from Barbara with... Hold on a second.
We'll let her say it.
Okay, this is from Barbara. It's about woodworking.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, this is Barbara from My Wood is Hard Workshop. And I would like to know, what do you use to polish your knob? Oddies or Walrus? Thanks.
As I'm playing it, I regret playing it. So
no regrets.
Maybe we just
no regrets.
No regrets. So, what are we gonna do with that? Are we gonna answer it, or are we gonna be
embarrassed?
Well,
I've never used Walrus, so I'm gonna say Odie's. Dan,
Rubio with the card scraper.
Nick,
wipe on Polly.
Ooh,
good choice.
You gotta thin it out.
No, full screen.
You want answer. That as viscous wipe on as is already possible?
Thin. Yeah.
Don't.
Do- I didn't even realize what I was doing.
No, you want.
Oh, people just watching the video are gonna love that.
Dunlap yeah. just can't help himself. All right, this next one is
you Mike didn't answer. Steel wool is
oh wait, Odie's.
Odie's.
The only issue is, you know, you got to use the Scotch-Brite pad. It just seems
don't throw
aggressive.
Your back out though.
And then a big 7-inch buffer.
What was that, Pete? Do that.
That's a little generous, Pete.
Yeah, right. I'll get by with a
3-inch buffer.
3-inch buffer, exactly. All right.
Just don't throw out your back.
From
I already pulled that joke. You missed it. I did that 30 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ago. God, man. Nobody laughed. I'm angry.
I don't want to make that guy feel like we're making fun of him.
Next
but
one. Let's do it.
I get that anytime I do a story where I'm using Odie's, I get that someone messaging me, don't throw your back out. To this day, I still don't understand how that guy threw his back out using Odie's. I don't understand it.
Just try to generate heat.
Yeah, just
friction, man.
Polarization. All right. This one's from Andrew Dembeck.
Never heard of him.
Hey, guys. It's Andrew from ADD Woodworking. It's been a while since I called in, but I'm really enjoying the podcast, and I think it's really cool that you guys are going to have
Nick
on this week. So my question for you this week is, I am finding myself in a position where I really need to upgrade a couple of my tools. I have the kind of basic entry-level Ryobi table saw and their 9-inch bandsaw, which has like a 4-inch resaw capacity. Most of the things that I make are on the smaller scale. I do a lot of turning and, you know, cutting boards, and I do the epoxy charcuterie boards. But I'd also love to get more into building some furniture. And I find that the table saw, as small as it is and, you know, kind of as poorly built as it is really restricting me in that regard. But I also find myself constantly needing a machine that can resaw for me, and I currently don't have one of those. So I've been looking around at the Laguna Tools, at the 1412 bandsaw, and the Fusion F2 table saw, but I really only have room for one of them in my shop. So my question to you guys is, if you were in my position, which one would you go with? Upgrading the bandsaw or upgrading the table saw? I look forward to hearing your answers. Keep up the great work on the podcast. Thanks.
Did you lose me?
Just for a second.
That's okay.
For
a second. Which one should he get? Table saw or bandsaw?
Table saw.
Right.
I almost want to say because he already has a table saw, as small and janky as it is.
He's already got a bandsaw, small and janky as it is.
But, like...
your argument's invalid. He needs a table
saw. No, I just feel like you can get by with... Listen, I was using contractor saw for almost 11 years. It did fine, you know, but like, I kind of wish I had a nice bandsaw back then.
So you had a contractor saw. He's working with a job site saw, it sounds like.
Well, that's what I had.
Ryobi job site saw.
Well, I had the DeWalt job site saw, the little one you can pick up.
But not a Ryobi. The DeWalt's actually fairly nice.
Okay, fair. Fine. Then I do believe that a table saw is like the heart of any shop. So a nice table saw is, and also just having that work surface and reference surface being dead flat, I think that's a nice upgrade. But if the saw is doing an okay job, go with the bandsaw. Go like a nice bandsaw. Because you'll be actually doing a lot of those cuts that you're trying to do at the table saw. If you have a nice, like a Laguna bandsaw. I mean, I've seen Mike and Dan cut on theirs. It's like dead on straight.
Throw it.
You also do a lot of resaw too, so. Well, what do I know? I don't have one.
Mike, throw what it. Do you think?
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I love bandsaws. But I think you need to have a table saw. I mean, bandsaw is my favorite tool in the shop. But for what you're doing, I mean, it'd be nice to do resaw. But if this, based on the stuff you're doing, you need to have a good table saw. And Pete's argument of having a good large flat surface to reference against is really a big deal. So,
you put a timestamp on that? Mike agreed with me. Okay,
30. That happens a few times.
Sometimes.
You know, I love you, Dan.
I already answered. Table
okay,
saw.
Okay, Nick.
I was talking over Pete. I don't know if you missed that part.
We were going back and forth.
Nick, what do you say?
I might blow you guys' mind collectively.
Oh, shaper.
I see scroll saw.
No. I don't have a bandsaw.
What? Who invited this guy?
No, really. I've gotten by my entire woodworking career.
I've gotten by with putting a jigsaw on a piece of plywood and turning it upside down.
Yeah.
You just did it for views.
That's exactly. It's all for the gram. No, I've made do with only having a table saw, and I don't have the best table saw, but I have done a lot of steps to make sure that it is square, that I have a good fence, that I have, trued my blade to my miter slots, and any jig that I make for my table saw is square to the blade so that I can do whatever I need to. So a table saw is by far more important than having a bandsaw.
It's top priority for any shop, in my opinion. Yep. I love bandsaws. I love it. But the first saw you need to really start investing money into is, for me, right, needs to be a table saw.
The bandsaw is nice, but I feel like it's kind of a luxury tool. It's on the cusp of being a luxury tool and being an essential tool.
I disagree.
Dust collection, right?
I disagree on
just like
a luxury tool, depending on what you do. Like if you're doing furniture stuff and you need to get curves and things, I mean, you need a bandsaw.
But he's just making cutting boards and such.
Right.
You don't need a bandsaw for cutting boards.
Yeah, so it's a luxury item for him.
You're right.
Right.
Of course I'm right.
Write it down.
I drive a Silverado.
Which he kind of confused me, though. He said he was needing to resaw a lot.
Yeah,
but he only has a 4-inch resawing bandsaw at the moment. So what?
I mean, you could resaw that on a table saw,
yeah,
with a good
easily
table saw.
Yeah, two cuts. You've resawed.
Even if you have like little sliver in the middle, you can just take a handsaw to finish it up.
Yeah,
it's a lot of extra work, but
save a lot of extra money.
I think we all agree table saw. I was leaning towards bandsaw because I was thinking, like, you can get by with a job site saw for a lot of
I still
things.
Say shaper.
It's because he said resaw.
Shaper origin or shaper table?
Origin.
The shaper origin. Not the big
but
shaper.
But you gotta get extra tape, though.
Right. Not if you make the tape jig.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's a tape jig?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can make like a big tape jig and you only have to buy tape one time.
Yeah, you just attach it to your workpiece.
Don't they have the actual tape, like the workbench that does that too? The shaper workbench? And it's kind of.
I mean, yeah,
the same
but
thing.
You can make your own.
Right. Make, makers.
Right.
Making their own.
Right.
Make and do. Okay.
Make your
make
own shaper.
To make tools.
All right. This next one is from Ken Robertson from the internet.
Hey, this is Ken Robertson. First, I owe an apology to Dan. When I first met him at the meetup, I said something that insinuated that he was short. Right as I said it, I was like, oh my gosh, that sounded stupid. But what can I say? I don't really get out much these days. So sorry, Dan. And I know I should show better respect to Silverado drivers. Anyway, I had a woodworking question about finishes. I don't use a wide variety of finishes since kind of getting your comfort zone and, you don't want to mess it up at the last step. But I recently made some like step stools for my daughter and a few for my aunt, for her grandkids. And I wasn't sure what finish would work well on it. I made them out of the big poplar from Macbeth, and they have a great tone and, and kind of a nice satin sheen to them. So unfinished, they look really great. but I kind of want to put a finish on it just because it's going to be by water where, you know, even though it is baked, it might make sense to have some type of finish on it for water resistance. But also it's kind of like scratch and sniff furniture where, you know, in the bathroom, I'll be brushing my teeth and can kind of catch that scent of, you know, baked barbecue potato chips. So I wanted to know what your recommendations were in terms of something that would, you know, be a good finish on it, but not necessarily change the color or the sheen too much. Thanks a lot.
I'll jump in real quick. So there's actually a product for the baked or Cambrian wood called Q-Tech that actually, the problem is though, it does kind of change the color, but with the baked wood, you're, it being in a moisture environment isn't actually going to hurt the wood, but the wood can grow mold. So that's kind of why you want some sort of protecting finish on there, because the moisture, because the pores are so open with all the tannins and everything burned out of it. Moisture can get in there and it can get bacteria and it can actually get mold in there. So you're really more sealing it for that reason. But in terms of the wood actually going bad, it just can't. It's not capable of doing that. So Q-Tech is the product that they, you're supposed to – or not supposed to – that they make for that. But I sprayed water poly on one product – or one project – bourbon. One project with with baked wood. And I just did the new OD Super Duper on one. I mean, you could probably seal it with anything, to be honest. I mean, as long as you're sealing it up, I think you're good. But Nick?
Oh, spray lacquer all day long.
Rattle can?
I mean, either one. I mean, you could do HVLP, rattle can, whatever's easiest. But, I mean, I've got a couple pieces of baked ash on my lumber rack that I'm just waiting –
For it to dry out.
Went from the dry, dang it.
No. Waiting for something in the old noggin to come out and say, make this with it. But I've used that before and sprayed just lacquer, and it's great. I mean, lacquer goes on anything. You could, you don't even have to know her.
Oh, lacquer, hardly newer. I would recommend like a super satin though, because it does get a lot of sheen. Even with like a clear satin on that stuff, it gets a real serious sheen to it.
Yeah, but, I don't use anything over satin really.
Yeah, me either. I'm not 80.
Right.
Dan?
Satin lacquer for the win. I agree with satin lacquer. You could even do like a water-based spar urethane satin. I think would look great. It wouldn't change the color at all. The color on that baked poplar is already like amazing. I've seen it at Mike's shop.
It's crazy.
It only gets so more nice. Rich when you add something like with an oil based finish to it.
Dollar
bills, y'all. As far as making fun of my shortness, I'm used to that. I get short jokes all the time from all my local buddies. But you went over the top when you called me a munchkin from Munchkin Land. No, he didn't do that. No, don't even worry about it, bro. I get short jokes all the time.
You on his lap.
When you put me on your lap and tried to stick your hand up my back.
Climb up
here,
Dan.
That went a little too far. No, what do you say, Pete?
Well, if it makes you feel better, somebody walked up to Chad and was like, "Hey, Pete!" To meet up.
I think I was there right
out in the parking lot.
And I was like... Over here.
I'm right here.
And also, I was weirdly expecting both of you guys to be like a lot shorter. We're all literally like the same height.
Yeah. Yep. 6 foot
yeah,
eight.
We're like within, yeah, we're six foot eight. Within like two, 6 foot eight to 6'10".
Yeah.
Within a 2 inches difference. I don't have a lot of experience with baked wood products. But
yeah, man.
Anytime I'm not like
every time.
Familiar with the wood, I just... Yeah, man. I just go to my tried and true, which has always been wipe on poly. Like I find that it has good results.
It's tough to go wrong with that stuff. Right.
It just kind of works, you know. It applies pretty
Nick
easily. Just gotta watch
knobs.
Your temperatures.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of wipe on poly.
Super thin.
That's all I got because I don't have a lot of experience with baked stuff. But
I'm a huge proponent of wipe on poly, but I've recently switched to spraying lacquer on everything, and it's tough to beat the speed of that. You know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah.
And no sanding in between coats.
No sanding. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
True, true.
Really selling it.
After this next question, Dan, you have your job to do.
Oh, God.
I'm just gonna go pee.
You gotta pee right now. I'm gonna throw up this next question from Kevin Hemphill with Lefty's Wood Shop.
We own his shop.
Hey guys, Kevin from Lefty's Wood Shop here. I think you know who I am by now. Not a regular Josh the Dad, but hey, that's cool. I don't have that kind of voice. I see you have
Nick
on this week, and I know he and his wife are kind of a team for their business. So I was just wondering how you guys, Justin maybe in particular, work as a team. I know my wife has great ideas, but when it comes to like her and me getting them done, it doesn't always happen. So how do you guys handle that relationship, or even if it's a collab with someone else? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast.
Dan?
I was doing research. Have Pete do it.
Pete?
Sure. Me and my wife, my new one,
my that I just wife. Got
like a month ago, I mean, I put her in my stories a lot, so people see her a lot, but she's a lot more involved in just like keeping me sane and keeping me on track and then sometimes recording me a lot more than you guys would think. Like one time we were doing a live and like my phone was just crapping out.
I remember that.
And she literally runs in. She's logged into my Instagram there as well. And she runs in, just hands me her phone, and I switch to live real quick. Like she's literally the only reason I keep it together. She's not super heavily involved in the shop, but like for the wedding she was, for any projects we're doing around the house, basically stuff she likes, she's there, you know. But she definitely tries to help out a lot. She does, you know, she's a teacher. She teaches she's a dance teacher, so she teaches at a couple schools. Her hours are kind of odd, so we're always like, you know, when I'm free, she's getting ready for work, whatever, I'm helping her out, and then when I'm like, she's home in the afternoon and I'm stressing in a shop about something, she'll like remind me to eat, which is great. That's always fun. And she also brings me random business. Like she'll have a client that, cause she also does some side gigs of her own. And she's like, hey, I have someone that wants this or like the two swings I'm making from someone she knows in Florida. So it's nice that she brings in a business. Plus she's a lot easier on the eyes than I am. So that definitely helps. That makes us more approachable. Yeah, I send her in, and then I'm like, hey, I'm actually the guy that's going to be making it. real sell.
Surprise.
And then they're like, oh, we're too deep in. She's got the deposit check. No, but she's very involved, and mainly it's because, you know, we legitimately have, like, weekly meetings of, like, go for finances, our plan for the week, like, hey, I'm going to be slammed these days. Hey, I'll be cranky these days because I'm super overwhelmed. Don't be mad at me. And then like, you know, I may need help this day, so she'll help me out and stuff. So she's definitely been a big help. What about you, Mike? I saw you and Robin kind of work as a power couple for a couple
never happened again. She just, came in the shop.
It was all for show.
No, it was, she came in and she was like, I'd really like, cause I was making that. I mean, I don't have any desire to make signs. You know, that's not what I want to do, but she wanted a sign and I needed to run a, you know, a little training file on the CNC just to, so she's like, hey, I'll come in and help. She wanted to do the epoxy part of it, and I was like, great, do it please. So I don't think it's something she's going to be coming in there to be in the shop often. It just doesn't seem like that's the case. Not that we don't work well together, she just has no desire to be in there. She has offered to like help with administrative stuff for Coffee Custom Builds, but nothing ever comes of it. So it's just kind of
she's helping with the website now, right? But the No,
she was like, hey, maybe I'll help with a newsletter, but the new girl came on, so.
Oh, God, I thought, like, yeah, you hired a girl to do it.
Oh, I was confused there for a second.
No, she has offered to help with some things, and there's just, I'm trying to figure out stuff that I can offload to her, because it's getting really hard for me to balance everything with my day job, and Coffee Custom Builds is getting a lot of business with the CNC has like, I mean, I've got three guys coming over tomorrow for business stuff, not other weird stuff. So tomorrow's going to be busy. I've got a customer coming in at 9, a customer coming in at 11, and then a guy coming in at 3 tomorrow just for the CNC alone. And I've got the commission for the bench going on right now. And I mean, it's busy right now. I'm just busy. And then I'm building us a coffee table. And then I've got my day job. And then there's trying to keep up on content creation, which is really important to me. All those things are very important to me. Obviously, my day job is my top priority. But I just am having a hard time with balancing everything right now. It's really a hard time. So nothing's going to have to give, but it's just tough. So she's trying to help with things, but I don't really know. Like, she can't price work. She can't help with social media. There's just things she can't do.
But I mean, even like she was hanging out with Jack one night while we were like knocking out some projects. Like,
yeah, no, she does that. I mean, she'll, you know, when I've like, when she knows it's crunch support, time, she rolls in there and just makes sure and take, I mean, when you guys were over, she took Jack to Napa to see my sister-in-law because she just wanted to stay out of, so we could do our thing. So, I mean, she's definitely extremely helpful. My wife's crazy supportive, like crazy supportive. Like, that's the biggest thing I can ask and that I get from her is that she supports what I do. She knows I won't put our family at risk, like our income and all the, like the real serious stuff. Like, I'm not going to put any of that at risk. So she's really supportive. I mean, you know, in 2.5 years, I've built a really nice shop and put a lot of nice stuff together in there. And it's busy. I'm growing a business. So it's a lot. So she helps on like in indirect ways that are extremely helpful. So it's just tough. Just a lot of things going on. Dan, are you capable of answering the question?
Yes, yes. I was so, like, just to explain why I had to toss it to Pete, like, you briefly said that we didn't get a J the D question, and I was like, I'm pretty sure we did, and I was looking for it, and I can't find it, and we didn't.
I can't find it either. It's fine. And I thought we did as well.
He'll be hearing from our lawyers.
He sent in a question late last week, and I thought that was the one. I think he sent it in, like, right before we recorded last week. Whatever. Josh, we're very disappointed.
You'll hear from our lawyers.
But to answer the question, my wife has almost zero interest to help in any way at all in the shop. She just has no interest in that. However, she helps a ton with my photography business. I think without her, I couldn't maintain both of them. She does all the administrative stuff when it comes to my photography business. She answers emails. She does all the scheduling. Basically, all I have to do these days is show up with a camera, shoot, and edit the pictures. She does everything else. So that is a massive, massive help to me because that frees me up to play a lot of NBA 2K21. And that's important. What about you, Nick?
Well, my wife actually does all my building for me. I'm just the face of my account.
You're doing that backwards, dude.
The reverse. I didn't get it.
Wait, what? Really?
Oh, yeah.
You mean she should be the face and I should be the building?
There are so many jokes I cannot make right now. I want to make so bad.
I don't even know what you mean.
He gets it.
No.
Nick's answer is perfect.
My wife is medical.
My wife.
Say it right.
Is medical. She's a nurse, so she's an RN. And she works at the hospital. Is that a busy
job? Currently, no. Nothing going on.
She's also out of work, right?
Yeah. She's actually been on vacation for the past couple of weeks, and it's been crazy that she hasn't been at work. So it's been wild. But
throws off your equilibrium.
Yeah, it's weird. Like today, like we went and bought a couch and had lunch together, and It was odd. No kids. Super weird. Very weird times. Not even COVID related. Just weird times.
It's tough to get those times.
Right. But like I said, she's medical and she has, I wouldn't say she has no interest in what I'm doing in the shop, but she just has no interest in what I'm doing in the shop.
Right.
So, I mean, whatever I do is kind of my own time and she fully supports me and I love her for that. And she's all gung-ho on anything I want to do because she knows whatever I'm doing is for the, you know, for the good of the people. The people is my family. Right. So
the grand fam?
The grand fam. Yes.
Grand flam.
Right.
Flam.
But
a grand slam.
The grand slam. Grand slam. Grand slam.
That's Denny's. Get it right.
Man, I want to go to Denny's right now.
That sounds so good.
Oh.
15 bourbons and some Denny's.
That's a all time. American. Here I come. But she doesn't really help out any. I mean, at all. And I don't expect her to. But I mean, well, okay, here's a story. Today, I get four chairs showed up because she ordered chairs. So
the Cremona?
Yes. Non-Cremona chairs.
Non-Cremona chairs.
And non-Key Woodworks chairs. So that goes...
Non-Cherry.
Right. None of which were cherry. They all had fabric. So... But that goes to show you how much she supports Key Woodworks, whereas she's, you know, paying China to make our own furniture now. So...
Outsourcing.
Right. Right. I mean, I will say, though, it was the fastest assembly I've ever had. It was pretty easy.
But there's something to be said about that.
But I mean, all that to say, she's great, but she doesn't help in the shop at all. It's pretty much just me. I run the show, and that's the way it is.
I think that answers his second part of his question. There is no collapse.
No.
With the wives, at least.
Oh, yeah. Not really. No wife.
Well, actually, I will say that I do have a little bit. Every now and then, I'll get a collab from the wife. And it's funny. She will be the first one to say that she doesn't know what things cost. Like, when we went to buy the sofa today, she was fully expecting not to pay what we paid for the sofa. And I
was
are...
Was she expecting more or less?
Higher?
Much, much less. She thinks She thinks things cost penny on the dollar.
Oh, most people do. Labor.
Right, yeah. And I'm more in the real world, so I know what things cost, and I'm fully prepared to pay whatever most price tags are. So when she will say to her friends at work or wherever that I make furniture, she will then refer me to these people, and they will then contact me and say, hey, can you make this for next to nothing? Because your wife said... Oh, that probably only cost $50. Oh. And I'm like, well.
That's how much the finish costs.
Right. I can't.
So, what are
really
you
going to
do with
that.
A bottle of glue?
Yeah, no. So, I start drinking glue.
Right.
To cope.
It's quite the mechanism.
Right. But, I mean, it's all fun in the end, because then I get to actually educate these people of what does handmade furniture actually cost.
You educate them, they're calling you names
and then they
under
ghost
their breath.
Right. Yeah, and then they never talk to me again.
You're a crazy man, and I'm leaving.
Right. It's all fun and games. I mean, I take everything as an opportunity to either educate somebody on, you know, what does handmade actually mean, or you're crazy, go to IKEA.
There's no gray area.
Fair.
Right.
I want to amend my answer, too. My wife doesn't take zero interest in my shop work. She takes an interest in the fact that I make positive dollars and not negative dollars. She's interested in that.
So she wants you to make 2K so that you can play 2K.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was funny.
2K for 2K.
Yeah.
More Dan, of those jokes, Pete.
That was funny.
That was a joke. Moving
we
on.
We are laughing. Dan, I think you should do the giveaway.
What giveaway?
Good point. I'll go to the next question.
No.
Next question.
I mean, he's got my address.
That's not how any of this works.
So last week we gave away, sponsored by Macbeth Hardwood, like my hat, like Pete's shirt. Mm. If you're watching the video, you know what I'm talking about. Macbeth Hardwood sponsors these giveaways every week, y'all. And last week, we gave away a 10-inch Amana table saw blade, a 42 table saw blade, or miter saw blade. It's probably got a 5/8 inch arbor. You can use it wherever that fits. And that winner
radial
was
arm saw.
Kyle Nance. Good job, Kyle.
Ooh, Kyle.
Way to be. As always, I've already reached out to him. This week, ladies and gentlemen, week 18, sponsored by Macbeth Hardwood, we are giving away a Tight Bond 1, 2, and 3 32-ounce bottle each, plus an 8-ounce Quick and Thick, and an applicator brush. That is, drum roll please, that's my best drum roll. A $39 value.
Same.
Thank you, Macbeth. I guess we need a code phrase this week, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We need a code phrase.
Didn't pick one
I got
yet?
One, actually.
Bourbon and Denny's.
I kind of like...
What?
I like... This came from the pre-show, so you got to listen to the pre-show to understand this joke, but it was pretty funny. Whiskey barrel slot.
Sure.
That's
sure.
a bar sure, around the corner sure from me.
Whiskey bar reach, but
that's Nick Key's mailbox.
Oh, yeah, his mailbox. I like it.
Did you forget that? Slot. Whiskey barrel
I
slot. Did.
I forgot.
Yeah,
I thought Nick's it was
joke. He didn't remember. You can't hold me to it.
So you need to send Whiskey Barrel Slot to our IG account, Another Woodshop Podcast, in a DM, or email it to anotherwoodshoppodcast@gmail.com. Back to the show.
Boom. All right. This next Boom. Question is from Maxwell Steck. It's about no subject.
Hey, guys. This is Max from Maxwell's Works. So in my garage, I've got table saw, miter saw, small little belt sander, a little lunchbox planer. I'm about to get a small drill press. I was curious what your opinions were on what the next machine I should get. Will it be a little baby band saw or start the dust collection? And just keep in mind that everything needs to have a pretty small footprint or need to be able to put it on a bench or a flip-top cart. Appreciate the help. Thanks.
Dunlap.
I can't stress this enough. You need dust collection.
What? What?
Well, obviously you guys make fun of me because of my past dust collection situation. But it sounds to me like he has zero dust collection. Whereas yes. I had at least a shop vac and a cylinder or a cyclone. So get something, bro. Even if it's just a shop vac, it's something.
Bruh.
But back. It sounds like he needs to put it on a flip cart.
Well, a dust collection, like you get one of those smaller YouTube units.
Video. Flip top dust flip collection. Flip cart,
full standing.
Oh, show title.
Show title.
Flip top dust collection. I would love to see like a P-Flux.
On a flip top.
Mike, you should put your two P-Fluxes on a flip cart.
Yeah, and then the others...
Just have them rotate.
You can't stand them up.
It'd be like the big giant
just horizontal.
Price is Right
like
wheel.
A bunch of chains right. on like a
just like an engine hoist.
$1, Bob.
Oh God, it's so dumb.
Okay, well, I guess we can call it a show now.
That was fun. That I'd say definitely dust collection, 100%.
Yeah, dust collection.
Yeah,
assuming he doesn't have dust collection. But if he has something,
even if you just have a shop vac, you need a little more than that. Because if you just have
a shop vac is better than nothing. I will argue that to the day I die.
I know. They have great suction, but
it's better than nothing.
There's nothing like having some dedicated dust collection.
Yeah, sure.
Got to do it.
Got to do it.
I think that's everyone's answer. Nick?
Oh, for sure. Wait.
Sure. Yeah.
Ditto?
Yes.
Ditto. Oh, you're good.
You're good. You're good.
He listens.
He listens while he knows.
I also say ditto. This next one is from Nick Paccia. It's AWB consumables question. I think it's supposed to be edibles.
Hey, guys. Nick from The Working Grain. So I just picked up another commission piece, and the customer wants to use a stain that I don't typically use. So I was just wondering how you guys add that into the pricing for it. Whether it's charging for the whole can or more along the lines of you have a set price for staining based on the labor that you have to put into it. Just curious about that considering, you know, each product's going to be a little bit different, varying in price. Yeah, thanks.
Pete?
Well, you can do the whole hours or labor, you know, hourly rate that you charge yourself that's going to take you to stain that thing, which is probably going to be a lot because we all love stain so much. Plus materials, which is the can of stain. You're not, you know, unless you're buying a large can, you charge them for a third or half, whatever you're using on that. Or you can go with what Dan uses and now I use, which is the 3x material cost. And that pretty much covers your... What is it?
3x material plus 10%.
Plus 10%, which pretty much covers, you know, your hours worked, your hopefully, unless you're working on a walnut desk, your hours worked, your materials, and some other stuff. So you definitely want to be charging for all of that, you know, unless it sounds like it's a, you do stain sometimes, and this is a stain that you're not, you don't have a giant can of that you can just take out of, but yeah, you got to work that into the price. And if they don't like it, they should probably get the actual wood instead of stain. What about you, Dan?
The way I see it is, a can of stain is going to cost you, what, 10 bucks? Maybe 15?
I don't know how this could ever possibly be a deal breaker on a
product. For me, it's more the labor. I guess. Well, but yeah, he's already charging, for stain, right?
It sounded to me like he was worried about adding on the extra cost of the price of the stain and not the labor cost. Obviously, it's going to be more labor because it's going to take more work.
You add both.
But, you know, when you add on the labor, that should cover the cost of the stain. I think, you know.
That 10% too would cover it.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, you just explain to the client, yeah, I'll do that. It's going to take this amount of labor, and that'll cover your cost of the stain. And then you buy a big can, and you have it for next time when somebody else wants it, and then you don't have that expense.
Unless they want something like, oh, I want this purple heart looking
thing.
Buying
consumables in this realm that we're in, it's kind of a cost of doing business in a way. I mean, it's an overhead cost. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an overhead cost. Plus, stain's one of those things that's not really going to go bad that quickly.
Well, no, it's not going to go bad quickly. It'll go bad eventually. But we tackled this subject many episodes ago when somebody asked us, what's the shelf life, or how long do you let your stains live on the shelf or whatever? And we all said, until they go bad, and then we just toss them out and buy a new one.
Yeah. But at least it's not like, you know, a half full can of like wipe on poly is going to go
Rubio.
Start getting all
stuff is Rubio, gold.
Start getting all jelly and stuff. At least stain will kind of hang there for a bit.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think?
Unless you're using something like General Finishes that costs like $40 a quart, just build it in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's as simple as this is what your piece costs because you want this color. Mm-hmm. It seems pretty simple to me to be like three times your material. If your material is also a can of stain, then charge them three times for the can.
Yeah. And that'll probably cover the labor cost too for the staining.
Yeah. And you should be realistically pricing every project as if you don't have the product on hand and have to buy it.
Right. That's one thing that I always tell people is do not price your products as if you have everything in stock. Price everything as if you have to buy everything for every project, including screws, bits, whatever.
Material at the end of the project, and that's part of your profit margin.
Right.
You now have some consumables in there.
Right.
And if someone's so cheap that $10 is going to be a deal breaker, you do not want that customer.
No.
Or $40 if you're going for the fancy general
finish. But he said stain. I mean, stain's like 11 bucks or what? Oh, yeah. Right. The nice brands. You're right.
We ain't talking Minwax over here.
Ain't no Minwax up in this place.
Pre-stain and regular stain.
All these stains.
Okay, $40. If you got a customer who's like freaking out over $40, that's a customer you don't want.
Right.
I mean, it's just such a small amount of money. I don't know what the piece is. I mean, you know, a cup.
Bespoke, you know, Adirondack chairs.
Yeah, if it's an Adirondack chair, it's going to be several hundred bucks, no matter what.
Maybe it's a doorstop. Maybe the doorstop's only 10 bespoke bucks, and now you're popping them for a $40 can of stain.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, no, I agree with Nick 100%. It just needs, you just tell them, this is how much it costs. It really should not be a deal breaker for you. I mean, it's no sweat off your back. If you want the job, do you want it so bad you're going to eat that? No.
Right.
The answer's no. So, anyway, yeah, charge them for what they used.
Yeah, 100%.
That is all the questions.
Is that it?
What?
Yeah. That's it.
I feel cheated.
Really?
I want more questions.
Nick, how he feels about coming on here?
We never did the Nick Key interview. We said we were going to.
Yeah, let's. Nick, do you want to answer some questions?
Sure.
Rapid fire.
How's your day?
We don't do that.
Look, when did you start woodworking?
Well, I've been in woodworking like, man, as far as I can remember, I think the earliest 93, 94. No, I don't remember actually. The very first memory I have of woodworking when I was in the third grade, I went home after school with a buddy whose mom was a woodworker, and she had a shop in a shed.
She shed.
She had a she shed before she sheds were she sheds.
By the seashore?
By the seashore. And this was back in Houston, Texas. And she made, I mean, all kinds of things. I remember making a lot of randomness, nothing crazy. Like, we made birdhouses and the typical stuff like that that you would make with kids. Mm-hmm. But every year around Christmas time, we would make Advent candle holders. And they were just a circle with a lot of other circles on top that would hold candles. And we would also scroll saw out like leaves and ivy and randomness that would be decorative pieces on top of those things. So I learned how to use a bandsaw. I learned how to use a scroll saw, a jigsaw. She didn't have a table saw, though. So maybe our answer from earlier about having a table saw is kind of a moot point, because she didn't have one, and she may do with only a bandsaw, scroll saw, jigsaw, handsaw. So,
baller.
But she also worked in a shop that was like maybe 10 by 10. So you can't fit a good table saw in that small of a shop. But that's when I got started. I mean, that's the earliest I remember actually woodworking. I've always, you know, done something with wood, you know, whether I needed to do something like as, you know, something for my house or for my parents' house or a friend or something like that. I've been a handy guy. Like that saying from the Red Green Show, like if women don't find you handsome, they better find you handy.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not that handsome. So
can confirm.
Right. Dan confirms. So I've been a handy guy. Yeah. I've like taken apart everything, tried to put it back together. Whether I can make it work again after that or not is, you know, another story. But I've always been into stuff.
So I don't know how much of this you can or want to talk about, but Nick's on Shop Sounds.
Yeah.
And Nick also edits a lot of podcasts, larger podcasts in this niche. And Nick also edits a lot of YouTube videos for some larger YouTube content creators in this niche as well. I don't know how much you can go into that. There's nothing.
Yeah, I can go into it without dropping names.
Right. Okay. So, so I'll say this about Nick. Nick is one of the most helpful content creators in the woodworking space. Nick's, and I'm not trying to like make this like a big stroke Nick's ego thing.
Yeah, but hold on.
Nick's been
wait.
Very helpful. Yeah.
My head already can't fit in this room.
Yeah.
Hold on. Nick's been, needs to go get Nick's his wipe on poly.
Nick's been super helpful for me. And I'm not trying to open this up to like a million people messaging Nick, but Nick was.
Oh,
Nick's
here it goes, been, though.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, don't.
That's fine.
Nick's been super helpful in terms of questions I've had about trying to up my video game, and I have so much to learn.
What video game do you play?
NBA 2K21. No, it's I'm just trying to up my content and trying to just bring value to that. Like, Nick's been so helpful. Nick's been doing this. How long have you been doing that side of things? How long has that been in your life? Just general content, editing this. I mean, you're a videographer for your day job.
Yeah. So I started out as a photographer, just like Dan, it's been over 10 years now. I think I told the story in the pre-show about, I had a client from 10 years ago ask for their wedding photos. And I was like, holy cow, doing
crazy?
Yeah, I was like, was I doing wedding photography 10 years ago? Wait, what? So
pull out your 512 megabyte hard drive.
Yeah. It's crazy. And what's crazy is I looked at those files and I was like, wow, I wasn't that bad back then. That's crazy. I
mean, I've only gotten worse. What happened?
Yeah. It's been downhill since then. It's wild. But so I started off as a photographer. And then it's been 6 years ago, I got hired on at a rather large church here in Central Kentucky as a videographer. And I am now a full-time media producer, which I make films, I edit films, I edit our TV show. Since COVID, I've stopped editing our TV show because we're now going straight to live television versus having a week delay. And I was actually producing the show so that it would fit in our hour slot. Now we just go live because of all the restrictions, and it's just craziness. But I still do a whole lot at my day job there, where I film, you know, Monday through Friday, and I'm sitting at a computer editing video all day. And then, you know, with that, it kind of opened the door to being able to do audio, and I kind of got my foot in the door with MFP.
Made for profit.
Yeah, made for profit. So I, which they're coming back, by the way. So they'll be back on the airs. It's funny. It's you. Do you say on the air when it's a podcast now? Like, it's not really radio anymore. I mean,
it's just in your ears,
right? I don't know. I mean, even my own podcast, I'm like, are we on the air? I don't know. Anyways,
no one knows, but it's provocative.
In the cloud,
right? We'll be in your ear hole
going.
So made for I can't even talk.
Made for profit.
Hey, that's my job. Back off.
You don't take that.
I'm stepping in.
He only has that.
I'm stepping in. Made for profit. They're going to be back. So I'll be editing for them again. And then I also edit Wood Talk. And then I edit, of course, my own Shop Sounds, which I know Pete's a fan of Wood Talk. I've heard him reference every now and then.
He just really likes Shannon Rogers.
Do you really?
I just love the edit.
Do you love the edit?
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I see your nose just instantly turned brown.
Hey, no, wait. No, one of the first things that I recommended to Mike when we were like getting started, I was like, hey, we should do this thing where like the music starts before the show's over and we just fade out with the music. And I didn't tell him where I saw it, but it was definitely Nick Key's work on the, you know, his edits.
That's funny.
Sorry, I'm just fanboying.
That's funny.
Nick, I love you. Oh,
that's great.
Now, to be perfectly clear, though, I've been following Nick for a while. I'm a big fan of your work.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And then I found out you edit all the podcasts I listen to, and I was like,
that's why they all sound the same.
It's funny and cute.
That's why they all suck. No.
It's not true. They're great
Nick
shows.
Just checked his watch. That's why they all suck. It's getting late.
That's right. What time is it here? All right. I got a notification.
Same time zone, which is late.
It is late.
When I mean, so what? In the last like 5-6 years, you've started doing all this?
Yeah. It's content. So coming from photography and then jumping over into video, it was a little bit of a learning curve because there is a lot that is the same. But then when you get into it, you learn that there is so much that is different. So you have a really good basis of knowledge coming from photography into videography. But so much of videography is dependent on that knowledge, but having new knowledge to make video good. I don't even know if that made sense, but
it makes perfect sense to me.
Yep.
So
I follow it.
Like having this basis of composition, lighting, and your settings is great, but there's so many things that don't translate into video because your settings are kind of a hard, fast rule that you need to follow so that you don't have certain issues with the video. And because of those issues, you have other issues. So you have all this constant back and forth in your own head of, well, if I change this, I need to change this. I need to change this, change this. And all of that just becomes natural after you do this for so long. So you don't even think about it. And that's really hard for a lot of beginners to think about because you're like, well, I need to do this because I want to do this, but that doesn't work because of this. And this is super general because I'm saying a lot of nothing, but anybody that shoots video knows that like there's rules and then there are rules that are meant to be broken kind of things. So you just have to learn what is good, what is to, you know, the rules that you need to follow on a daily basis kind of thing, and then what you need to make work for yourself kind of thing. And I mean, it's a learning thing that even today, like I will learn things over and over and be like, oh yeah, I can implement that with my next video or whatever.
Well, I mean, we were talking earlier about how it's so easy to pull your iPhone out or a phone out because the cameras on phones are bonkers and there's no depth. Everything's in focus the whole time. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. When I was going from, you know, I thought, oh, I want to up my content. I'm going to go from a phone to a camera. And I'm 100% glad I did. Like, it's just so much more. I feel like
you're in control.
I'm in control. Yeah. I'm like, I'm creating the video. Like especially when you got like a small depth of field on a camera or on a lens and you're blurring out everything behind, you're in more control. And with an iPhone, it's so quick or any phone, it's so quick.
What? It captures everything, not just.
Yeah. It captures everything. Like, you can't you almost can't mess it up with an iPhone. It's basically with a phone, it's idiot proof. So with a camera, you really have to be intentional. Like, you know, I don't know how many times for the first 4 weeks I was recording video with autofocus on.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, this whole shot's ruined. I mean, I had two YouTube videos where I had whole entire sequences that I had to just throw away because they were focusing on a screw on the corner of my outfeed table. And I'm over here doing work and it's just like, ah, man, I got to remember you. Then you get the muscle memory to turn on manual focus and it's just a thing you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how often I was messaging Nick, probably like every day for a few weeks.
It's funny, you were picking off of Nick and I'm picking all this stuff off of you.
Right, which is fine.
I'm like secondhand Nick.
Yeah.
Keep Nick's DMs low. But I mean, it's just like.
But in the beginning, you were asking me and I'm like, you really need to talk to Nick because.
Yeah, that was pretty much. Dan was like,
I photo versus video is big.
Yeah.
So there's just so much to it. And people will be like, hey, you know, should I go to a camera? And I'm like, I'm not really qualified to answer the question. But people think it's easier to go to a camera when in fact it's much harder to go to a camera from a phone.
Yeah.
But the product will be better in the end once you get past the rough part. It's just like anything, I guess. But and I'm nowhere near where I want to be with my knowledge of cameras. It's just not even close. It's just a lot. I mean, it's just a lot. But Nick has a lot of that knowledge, and I really like it.
So all of you reach out to Nick directly if you have any questions. kidding.
No, he's too busy. No, I pride myself on saying that I am an open book. If you have a question about anything, I will answer you, and I will give you an honest answer about it. I won't blow you off. I'll tell you exactly what I think you need to be doing or what your problem is. A lot of times people don't even really understand how to tell me what they're doing.
Right.
And that is kind of a problem because I don't
understand. Image blurry.
Right. I just don't understand how to answer you. And I've had a lot of that where they ask me a question and I'll just be like, you know, I don't have a clue what you're trying to tell me is the problem or what you're doing. So I don't know how to help you.
Your autofocus could be wrong. Your shutter speed could be bad. It could be a plethora of things.
Right. Yeah, the options are endless.
There's like seven things you have to make sure are dialed before you can even hit that record button on a camera. It's just different. So
yeah.
As someone that's just finally getting into like some proper video recording, I got my M50. I just got that 16mm Sigma lens that Mike recommended, which I think didn't Nick recommend that to you initially?
Oddly,
yeah.
I found it in a forum. I asked Nick about it.
Yeah.
And then Nick bought it. To one up me
immediately,
like a jerk, and immediately he's like I was like, hey, have you heard about this camera or about this lens? And Nick's like, no, I haven't heard about it. And then the next day he's like, look what I got.
Totally. And it fit the bill. I was like, I had not heard about this lens. It's 1.4, which is stupid fast. I was
so nice.
Send it.
So anyways, I got the Silverado of lenses on there, which is great.
Nick ordered it. Like, I think you had it in like 3-4 days from B&H, right?
Yeah.
And then Nick sent me this video and I was like, oh my God, it's so nice. The video on that 16mm is so nice.
Yeah. But see, but there's so much to learn with just that one lens because instantly I was like, well, I'm going from this the minimum f-stop on the stock lens.
You have the kit lens,
four.
Right?
Yeah.
The kit lens. What is that, 3.5, 5.6 or what is it?
I think it's a 4.0.
I think it's 3.5, 5.6.
Oh, it is. Okay. And I was like, oh, so I just want to go straight to 1.4. And I was like trying to take pictures of like the stool actually before I hit it with the ink. And it was like, no, it's too tight of a shot. Like the one section was in focus, part of the leg, and then everything else is blurry. I'm like, oh, this is too tight.
Mm-hmm.
So even things like that, you got to learn. But it does look more professional because it is focused on a shot. Once I finally dialed it in, I'm like, it's focusing on a stool, on this one little section. Everything else is blurry.
Yeah.
The eye's drawn to it. So thing, but it took me like 30 minutes, 45 minutes just to figure out that one setting. And there's like six more I should be looking at.
Right.
Like the things you talk about that, like things that, you know, the rules that need to be followed. Like I'm still learning them. I'm on my second video. I'm just figuring this out, you know? So
right.
It's and really intimidating.
Like, not to make it like a huge Nick plug, but really, if you don't follow Nick on Instagram or on social or on YouTube, yep. If you want to learn how to get better, if you're not comfortable like reaching out to Nick, which Nick will reach back, Nick's a good guy. But if you want to learn how to get better at creating content,
watch his video.
Watch the things he does in his videos, and you just need to pay attention because there's certain things that Nick does that I've definitely put into my practice. I mean, I won't go into specifics, but I mean, this you just got to watch people like Nick, people who are making good content that you like. They're doing well for a reason. So just pay attention to what those things are that they're doing and try to figure out, not to necessarily copy it, but to figure out how to incorporate it in your own way into your content, if that's something that's important to you.
Yep.
And if it's not important to you, then great. You don't have the burden of having to deal with that crap because it just kind of takes over your life. But seriously, go follow Nick on Instagram and on YouTube. And
are you on TikTok, Nick?
No,
I'm still not. I'm there. I deleted the app, but I left my account there, so you can find me.
We'll see.
I still get Nick's videos show up on my feed on TikTok.
Good.
Nice.
All the booty dances.
Yeah.
Oh, well, should
yeah.
we wrap it up?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap this
wrap. The full wrap? Let's wrap it up.
Well anyways, Nick, that's thank you been so much. Another videographer podcast.
So thank you. Big shout out to Nick for joining us. Thank you for filling in last minute and making yourself available for like a 6-hour recording session. We appreciate it. Thank you for being part of the community and being very active. I know we all appreciate it. Like yep. just talking, you know, basically just, you know, putting you on a pedestal for the last 30 minutes. But make sure to check out Nick. I believe it's Key Woodworks, not Nick Key Woodworks, right? Key Woodworks on YouTube and Instagram.
That's it.
Yep. Check him out. Check out his video. Check out his Instagram, his deleted TikTok. And if you don't mind, check out Dan's new video that he just dropped. Oh. It's from that mega walnut desk build. He just dropped it today.
I didn't even talk about that, did I?
And by the time, I know you didn't, but I wrote it down. And by the time you're listening to this, Mike would have already dropped his video. And guess what? Spoiler, it's fire. It's
not
so good.
I'm not going to try to like sure dehype to check that it. Out. But it's really not that great.
Mine's not great either. It's just a bunch of
guess what
footage I had from Instagram and
guess what? You're listening TikTok. To this podcast. You're probably doing dishes or you're sanding. And guess what? You might as well. You got an Apple TV in there or a Roku. Just put something on.
I'll just
on.
Tell you right now. It's good. My first impressions of my CNC landing.
Don't spoil it.
It's fine. They're going to see it in the morning.
And also, you know.
Did you go with the title I recommended? I have a robot in my shop.
I bought
a
$100,000 CNC. I didn't tell my wife.
That's the title. I recommend.
Old man Dan.
I was telling him to go with clickbait.
Randomly yelling things into the air.
A random Dan moment.
And also check out Nick's video that he dropped 6 days ago. Yeah, I checked, Nick.
Oh,
check that out. Yeah,
you and my mom watched that one.
Yeah, two views.
Seriously though, sorry Nick or sorry Pete to cut you up. But you need to check Nick's. The sheet music cabinet
that
video of Nick's
is so sick.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Edit is really.
I appreciate it, fellas.
You really do need to check it out. It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And then there's this
good.
One video Nick just did of him drinking Sunny D out of a tight bond.
That's in his
bottle.
IG.
No, yeah. No, don't ruin this for me. That was that's glue.
It was glue. It was. Meme. It had turned. It was turnt glue.
Turnt up.
Yeah.
Oh, were you not cleaning up your floor with it?
Well, okay, it was cool. After I cleaned my floor with it. I put it back
you
in the jug.
Out, put it back in the thing.
So that's right. Uses for glue.
All right. Enough of that. So definitely check out Nick at KeyWoodworks on Instagram and YouTube. Check out Coffee Custom Builds, same places, and TikTok. Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Petrie's Workshop, also on Instagram and YouTube and the TikToks. And if you want to leave a voicemail, we highly recommend you record it on your fancy schmancy phone and then send it as an audio file to anotherwoodshoppodcast@gmail.com. If you're old-fashioned, though, you can still call us up at 754-225-5297. And like we say every week, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you long time.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Nick, you have to say it.
Oh.
I'm not stopping until you say it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
guys.